Straw Hut Media.
We do judge a little bit sometimes, but we try to just have an open mind.
You can judge us too, by the way.
Right.
We're okay with it.
Who are we?
Yeah. Who are we?
Fiancés. Well, I'm Emil Ennis Jr.
And I'm AJ Gibson.
And our guest today is the beautiful and the talented Sophie Sumner. And you may know her. She was actually on Britain's Top Model, Next Top Model, but then she won Cycle 18 of America's Next Top Model, which we had Isis King on from, I forgot what season she was on.
Wait, we did have Isis on the show. I love Isis. Wait, does that mean that Sophie, when she won the American version, but not the, does that mean the Brits are prettier than us, like better looking than us? Is that what
that
means?
Not necessarily. It just depends on the competition.
Maybe she upped her game.
You know, Top Model, there's so many different strategies and things you have to do to win the competition, which I'm sure we'll get into with Sophie. But Sophie, I also host with her on Amazon Live.
You sure do.
And we have a blast every single time. And she usually gets me to sing every time we're hosting as well.
That takes a lot.
At like 7 in the morning. So it does take a lot that early in the morning. But Sophie, welcome to the pod.
Hiya.
Hello,
hi.
Hello. It's so nice to meet you. I've seen you on Amazon Live. Is that your dog saying hi?
Peaches, shut up.
I've seen you on Amazon Live with my fiance, but I've never met you in person. So thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you guys.
But what kind of dog do you have?
And she's a multi-poo. She's very hot and stressed out at the moment.
We have you've seen Kingston, I think. He's a woodle.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lazy Kingston.
Very lazy. My mother has a Cavapoo.
So we're on the mom has a Cavapoo too.
Mm-hmm. We're all in the poodle family. So yeah, I love it. How long have you had your dog?
Oh my gosh, Peaches is 7.
Peaches. Oh,
my best friend Drew, her dog is Peaches too, and that's also a poodle mix.
Oh,
no, Peaches is like,
I think Peaches is 13 or 14. Is your dog white as well?
Yeah.
Oh, that Peaches is white as well. Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. Whoa. Peaches has a twin in California.
That is crazy. Well,
we're super excited to have you here. Just also want to let our listeners know that we only do this because we love you and because you support us and we appreciate you. So you could support us also, not just by listening and telling your friends and family, which we appreciate, but also by heading over to the Apple Podcasts. Find Confess Your Mess, give us 5 stars, write us a review. If you do so, you might be one of our messengers of the week on an upcoming episode. You can also rate us on Spotify. If you leave us a message on our YouTube channel, you might just be our messenger of the week there as well.
And the messenger of the week for this week comes from Apple Podcasts, from AK Savannah, and they said, "Outside Pants. Love the lightness of this podcast. They always have the best guests. Candace, I know exactly what you mean with the outside pants."
Okay, so let me just tell you, Sophie, one of our recent guests.
Don't give it away, though, because I want them to listen.
She talks about having certain clothing for indoors versus certain clothing for outdoors, and we thought it was weird.
Yeah.
So that's, you can guess what outside pants might be.
And apparently AK Savannah relates to that. So we just wear our clothes inside, outside, everywhere. But apparently some people have designated clothing items for where they are located.
Well, like
life.
Pajamas, no?
okay, thank you.
That's what we thought. We were like, okay, but no, apparently it's the whole thing.
That's like the simplest shade without being shady at all. And I think that's adorable. That's perfect. Like pajamas, no? Yes, exactly.
Should we get into our first segment?
Yes, I see that Sophie was just drinking a Celsius Heat. We have a whole fridge.
Oh my gosh, we had a whole conversation. Like, I told her to try the strawberry dragon fruit. You probably have, you have the cherry lime, or do you have like
how
the...
How did you see that? I thought it was good.
We have a good eye. Well, here's the thing about camera, Sophie.
Can you see right now? I'm thinking my speakers are like broken by the camera.
Well, you know when you lift a can up to your mouth and take a drink, I could see it. So that's about how much I can see.
Here. Can you see me here?
Yeah, we can see you.
I can still see you a little bit.
That's so weird.
This is going to be a fun video to watch on YouTube. So if you're listening, make sure you go check out the video as well. You look adorable, by the way. You look... Supermodels are wild to me. The supermodels are like, I can just throw it together. Look at you.
I love it.
And she looks fierce.
I love it. Oh, yes.
You look like Anna Delvey now.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, let's get into it, shall we?
Anna Delvey Foundation.
It's so basic.
Yes.
So basic.
Okay. So what's our first segment, AJ?
Our first segment is, okay, so before we actually trust you with our listener-submitted secrets, we got to make sure you can hang, that you're willing to reveal a little bit about yourself before our listeners submit and reveal everything about themselves. So this is not your big secret or your confession that you talked to our producer about previously. That's at the end of the podcast, right? This secret is like a little mini tiny secret, more like a vice, maybe something that you still do. You have a bad habit, or maybe there's an ex or something that a snack that you can't let go of that you know isn't good for you, but you still do anyways. This is your mess, but
yes.
I love everybody.
We're so gay. We're so
every
gay.
Time we do that, it makes my day.
I got a mess, but yes. Oh my god! I guess like join the. I don't know. The Celsius isn't great.
Not an ad.
I don't think that's ideal. What else do I do? Oh my god! I'm like quite an open book. So what do I do that's really
Sophie, you crack me up. The accent just makes everything funnier.
It totally does. She's like, well, I'm pretty perfect. I can't think of anything off the top of my
head. I guess my confession is that I actually emailed your producer saying that I didn't really know a secret I had.
Okay, that's perfect. But okay, so
he didn't get back. Now I'm like, oh crap, this podcast is about a secret that I'm not sure what it is.
Okay,
and so I'm sat here drastically trying to think of any secrets I might have.
Okay, so this is iconic. This is great. This has never happened before. So your mess, but yes, might be you're like, listen, I have no idea what I'm doing and why I'm on this podcast, but I'm going to go ahead and say yes to it. So that's your mess, but yes, perfect. You have about the next like 25 to 30 minutes to think about your secret, okay?
It can be a silly or goofy or whatever, but
that means you're...
I didn't really think this one through. I didn't realize that to like reveal my deepest, darkest secrets in here.
Yep. We're not trying to destroy your life or anything, but like something that like means something to you that you're going to reveal later on. So just get ready for it. If you start to sweat right now, if your temperature's going up, it's totally normal.
Okay. So while you think about that with Peaches, we're going to start with our first secret from... Okay, so we let people say whatever name they want to say or anonymous. The name is Camping Mishaps, male. Okay.
Okay, okay.
They said in the fifth grade, it was tradition for the graduating class to go camping. So for fifth grade classes...
Wait, graduating from what? Fifth grade? Wait, is that a graduation?
Did you not graduate from fifth grade?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Elementary school, there's a graduation. Middle school, there's a graduation.
Well, fifth grade for me ended in sixth grade.
I went to a private school.
So did I.
And so, yeah, it was to sixth grade. But in a traditional public school, I don't know how it is in England, but why did I say it like that? In a traditional public school.
You have family from the UK. Your mom's
I know,
there.
But my accent isn't good. Oh, wait. Okay, Sophie, you tell me if my accent's good. Okay.
Oh, God.
What can I say in British that...
That's going to be totally offensive to this lovely woman who speaks this native tongue.
It won't be offensive.
Okay, that is not a British accent. Tell him that, please.
Just a little bit, right?
Say it again.
Just tell him his British accent is terrible so we can finally end this debate.
My British accent is not that bad.
Oh, it's weird. Unclear.
Wait, can you do an American accent?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god, like I just really like had a hard day. It's so tough. Oh my god, he's such a dick.
That's an LA accent.
I feel like people can always do an American accent, but people can't always do a British. But in public school, fifth grade is graduation. Okay, back to the secret, everyone. Okay.
All I can say is jolly-o.
Jolly-o.
Bloody.
Bloody.
I don't know. There's like three words.
I don't think she approves. Okay, so for four, like the number four fifth grade classes were taken to the woods for a wonderful weekend filled with activities. Bow and arrow, rock climbing, just enjoyable outdoor activities. This is where the fear sets in. Not only was this my first time being away from my mom and siblings in the same state, but I was alone.
Fifth grade. Got it.
Didn't really have that many friends. I can relate. I was not cool in school. Had a few acquaintances, but no real friends. So I'm just a tad bit lonely. Also at the time, I wet the bed. Okay. So they said nightfall comes and it's time for bed. We're placed in these cabins with no TVs, given a sleeping bag and a pillow and told to go to bed. Finally, daytime arrives and I had a decent night's rest. As I wake up, I hear the guy underneath me say, "Why is it wet? And why does it smell like pee?" I'm petrified and oh my God, this is disgusting. I'm petrified and I say nothing as I tuck my body in a soggy sleeping bed and go about my morning. The kids began asking everyone in the cabins who wet the bed, and of course I lied. I couldn't let them know I was the one that wet the bed. How embarrassing. I have never told anyone that secret. It still kills me to this day. Oh my gosh.
Wait, but what did the guy think it was?
Like, that's a good question.
Well, they knew somebody. Okay, so if he's on the top bunk, wouldn't you know, like, it was him?
But you have to think, in fifth grade, I feel like you're not, like, fully developed. So you don't always put two and two together.
What the hell? No, of course you would know it was him.
How old are you in fifth grade?
Like 11 or 12?
No, I was 10 in fifth grade.
Well, yeah, but you also graduated high school when you're 17, so that's right. Young.
Yeah.
So yeah, like 11 or 12.
I feel like everyone maybe knew.
Yeah. I feel like this poor person probably compartmentalized it, put it away in like a dark, dark recess of their brain. So
he thinks it's a secret and everybody knows.
Everybody knows. Hey, dude,
yeah,
if you're
like, oh, that kid.
Yeah. Yeah. You're Peter the Pee Pants boy. Or something. Like, you definitely, if you're on the top bunk, who else would it have been?
Yeah, because it would be one thing if it was the sheets underneath the bottom bunk were wet, or if like off to the side or something, then that kid underneath might have thought that maybe he wet the bed. But the fact that he was like soaked in it. Oh, that is so gross, y'all.
Sophie, do you go camping?
I thought you were going to ask her, do you wet the bed?
Did you go camping growing up, or did you do a lot of sleepovers with friends, things like that?
No, we did a lot of sleepovers. Camping maybe like once or twice. England was kind of cold.
Yeah.
But we did a lot of horror sleepovers back when it was like The Sixth Sense and What Lies Beneath. And
oh, wait. Whoa. Oh, this is my favorite. Horror. Okay, I'm obsessed with horror films. Yeah. So for me, I do like What Lies Beneath is so, so good. Scream, the whole Scream franchise is like my life. Like, I'm obsessed with Neve Campbell and all of them. But my sister, my little sister, loves horror campouts too. And she came to L.A. one time and we went to the old abandoned Griffith Park Zoo. And they had an overnight camp out, and they would drag people out of their tents and bury them alive.
What?
And put bags over their head and do all kinds of wild, wild shit. And I
you
was like,
paid to do that?
Yeah, I paid like $100 and some per person so that my little sister, who was 18 years old, could have this like life changing experience.
I stayed at home.
How is she doing now?
She works for a church. So.
Does she?
Yes, she does like video editing and things like that and creates videos. But what does a horror like camp out sleepover look like in the UK?
Oh, you know, they set out a bunch of like tea and we like salute the queen, and then we all sit around and I don't know, I think it's pretty the same as America.
Like, that is not the same.
Oh, God.
A lot of candy. A lot of
okay, candy.
A lot of the parents being like, you'll never sleep. And then I remember for like years, I couldn't look in a bathtub.
Oh.
Like, because of What Lies Beneath in the bathtub scene. That one really messed me up. Actually, the scariest thing that I had reoccurring nightmares for like 3 years was, and I still cannot look at it, is E.T. Oh.
Wait,
huh?
Wait.
E.T.'s not a horror film.
I was not expecting that. Hey, Sophie, that is your secret. Your secret is that
you're afraid of E.T.
What in the world?
In England, there's a company called BT, which is like your AT&T. And BT's whole thing, their whole branding was like stay connected. And then they bought on E.T. as their like branding ambassador, and it was like E.T. phone home.
Yes, E.T. Oh,
it still makes me feel ill.
Every time the commercial came on, you screamed.
Screamed. And then I went to a house party, and my friend has like this insane Soho loft, so beautiful, big party. And then in the corner, there was a life-size E.T. And she had to cover it. We had to remove it. It was horrible. This was like last year.
Oh my so God. Chic. Wait, no, she had to cover it. Doesn't that happen in the movie? E.T. dresses up like a ghost with a sheet and goes out trick-or-treating. Oh, wow.
Horrible.
This is fascinating. Oh. I was not expecting that pivot.
I love.
Listen, I don't know. Maybe we'll figure out a way to cut that and edit it to make that your secret at the end. We'll figure something out.
Well, you're going to give us another secret. Yeah, just get nervous and prepare another.
But,
also, you went camping once. You were super excited about it.
Yeah.
You talked about it.
I've gone camping many times.
Many?
Yeah. I was in camp in class, and I had to in college my senior year. I needed one more credit in order to like bullshit credit, and camping was one of the classes, and so I took a camping class, and we went on camping trips and stuff.
I had the same. You have to take one of those random credits. Uh-huh. I took swimming class, and I was a swimmer for like 12 years. I get to class, and people are like learning how to swim, and I'm like swimming like IMs, like butterfly back
so
and forth.
So you got an A.
I think I did.
I would have got a D.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick commercial break. Now that I just think we just need a little time to recover from that ET secret. And we'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to Confess Your Mess. We've got Sophie Sumner, winner of America's Next Top Model Cycle 18 on the pod today. She is terrified of ET.
Yes.
By the way. So that's what we've learned so far.
What's our next secret, AJ?
Shall we move on?
Mm-hmm.
This one is anonymous female from Minnesota.
Okay, Minnesota, eh?
Have you ever been to Minnesota, Sophie?
Minnesota. No.
Nope. Yeah, you're not missing it. It's really cold.
I get in like, my whole Twitter is me just getting in fights with big companies. So I'm currently fighting Apple, Verizon, and Oral-B. And like, when I ring them, the last one on Verizon, they put me through to Minnesota after like 2 hours. And she was like, oh, hello, how can I help you? And like, so nice. I think they use that as like a last resort so you don't get mad at them.
Yeah.
Like, what can I do for you today?
Yeah, the accent is very like disarming.
Minnesota. I know. Like, I don't know anymore.
I can't make fun of you now. Yeah. All right, anonymous female, Minnesota. I use bananas for sexual pleasure.
Oh wow!
Just pop them in the microwave for a few seconds, and bam!
Wait! Okay, so
she likes to feel like a body temperature, I guess. Right? Is that what that is?
I was not expecting that. Like the banana into it, that didn't bother me or surprise me. I feel like people have tried things before.
Wait, so this has to be like a green, not ripe banana because sometimes they get mushy. So it'll
get soggy.
Yeah, like day one banana.
And I feel like that would cause some type of infection.
Sophie, thoughts?
I don't know if that's like an American thing or. I didn't even know you can microwave a banana. That's more the worrying thing. Like,
it's not a normal thing.
Yeah, it's not an American thing.
If you were going to do anything, I would have thought you freeze the banana.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then use it rather than have a soft, sludgy one.
Well, okay, yeah, that's interesting because we actually talked about nipple clamps and ice cubes recently during a sexual kink conversation that we had in our last podcast.
With Jackie.
Yeah, so maybe a frozen banana would be a wonderful option as well.
Let us know if you've ever tried a frozen banana for sexual pleasure. I've never thought about that.
But also, I feel like both ends of the banana are kind of rough. Do you know what I mean? They're
what
not
if
like,
you put a condom on there? We don't know what she...
Well, is that how you learn? Sophie, did you ever learn to use a condom in school at any point? Did they ever bring in bananas and teach you how to put a condom on a banana?
I think they brought us in bananas.
Just bananas?
I think so. It was a private all-girls school, and I'm pretty sure it was just bananas. Mm. And then, like, a horrific slideshow of what happened to your head. You know Mean Girls, where they're like, you will die if you have... It was like that. Literally, everyone came out, and they were like, we're never having sex. So scary.
Sophie, let me tell you something. You have a beautiful way of you'll just say a statement, right? And it's just like normal. And then all of a sudden your pivots are just like your pivots are gold.
Wait. So are you this funny with like your British friends, or do you find that all Americans just think you're hysterical?
I think I have to stay in America. If I go back, I'm just one of many, right? Like I have to stay out here.
Like Adele's a nobody in the UK, but up here in the United States, she just slays. Totally.
Wait, okay, so I have a question. Just because with my mom growing up on, I don't know if you know PBS, but it's the public broadcasting station.
Is that Mr. Rogers?
Oh, yeah. That's Mr. Rogers. But my mom and I, on the weekends growing up, we would watch British shows because they were pretty British. Did you ever watch Keeping Up Appearances?
Oh, I think so. With Hyacinth Bouquet?
Yes, is that her? I think so. That sounds familiar.
Mrs. Bouquet?
Yes! We used to watch that, and then we watched As Time Goes By.
Oh, what is that?
That's not real.
Yes, hold on.
I used to watch Are You Being Served?
That's real.
Oh, I used to watch that.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then the only other one I ever watched was, what was it?
What was the show? Who's the woman in 007 who's like iconic?
Judy Dench.
So she was in a show, and the theme song was As Time Goes By. And I'm trying to think, As Time Goes By. That was a theme song, but I can't remember what the name of the show was. Anyway, just had a little British moment there. And I would sit there with my mom and we'd watch all those shows, and we would crack up because Hyacinth was just, she was hilarious.
Yeah.
We also started Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I think.
Oh, you started that? Oh, yeah. I think I actually did know that.
A lot of our shows come from overseas, and then we get Americanized versions and think that we did it and we didn't.
And I think she hates us. She hates us so much right now. She's like, you guys, let's stop talking about the UK. But I do love, I think you have the best talk show on the planet. Graham Norton is so talented, and somehow every episode there's like three A-list celebrities.
Every single one. Yeah.
Like they're always such good guests.
So we're like such a tiny little island. Like we're smaller than like New York, right? I think people forget how small we are.
Wow.
And we had a minute where we were like, ha ha ha, we're taking over the world, and now we're like, you know, like kind of. So there's only really like two or three talk shows. It's funny, I haven't been home. I mean, I've gone home, but in 8 years since I moved to America, it's like the same celebrities. It's fun. It's so weird. Like, it's just the same kind of. So Graham's been, there was a guy called Jonathan Russell, but Graham's been on for a while. I actually met him recently and he's so nice. He's a friend's really good friend. It's super cool, but he gets like the coolest. It doesn't seem like, you know, sometimes when you watch the American talk shows and you're like, oh my, I've had friends who have gone on these talk shows and it's so scripted and the publicists like figured everything out. And with Graham, you're like, I think he just like kind of watch what happens live. He obviously like gives them drinks and they have a blast and they really open up and it's easy and he's nice and it's a great show.
Here in the States, publicists play a huge part in that.
I have a publicist story.
It's always a pre-interview and everything is, this is off limits, this is off limits.
You're like the off-the-cuff story is an off-the-cuff story. They already knew.
They're like, hey, that's so funny you asked me that. I wasn't going to say it. And you're like.
Yeah. Wait, what's your publicist story?
So I went to the morning show premiere and it was at Lincoln Center and it was like beautiful and huge and Apple TV and they hired out the whole of Lincoln Center in New York, which if anyone doesn't know, is like
gorgeous,
beautiful, like has fountains. They'll film Gossip Girl there, like the opera. And me and my friends were about to do the insane carpet, which is what, you know, we're not really, nobody really cares if we do, but we're like, okay, we'll go do it. And then all of a sudden it was like, dud, dud. And we were like pushed out the way by Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston's public, like brutally pushed. And then Reese and Jennifer just walk through like this. And it's the story of anything is like the publicists just like do the dirty work. So the celebs are like, oh, look at me.
No,
I was like, I literally just got, I went flying, me and my friends, because this publicist was like, oh man, they can be.
Oh my God.
Well, we've been on both. So I've done red carpets for many, many years. And I do remember years ago, the first time I was ever flown out to Las Vegas for the Billboard Music Awards. Mm-hmm. I was there for a talk show that I was going to be hosting on Fox, one of the networks here. And she doesn't live here in the United States.
One of the networks.
What am I talking about? I was told we've got an interview set up with Jennifer Lopez. And I'd never met her or interviewed her up to that point. She follows me on Twitter now. So the story ends well, but not here. It doesn't. So I go out there. And she finally is coming through like the press, whatever. And she's got her publicist in front of her always, right? Because she's not talking to anybody directly. And I'm like, hi, I'm here to interview Jennifer. I'm so stupid. And they're like, what outlet are you with? And I tell them and they're like, we don't know. No, that is not. I'm like, oh, I think it was set up ahead of time. And they're like, no, it was not set up. And I go, okay, well, I was flown out here to interview Jennifer Lopez. So can I just please interview her? They're like, and the woman goes, no, absolutely not. And I'm like, seriously, this is really a big deal. My boss is going to get so mad at me if I don't get this interview. That's the only reason I was flown here. So can I please just talk to her briefly, ask her one question? She goes, no, you can't. I go, okay, thanks. Thanks a lot. It's okay. I totally understand. Listen, it's my job to ask. And she goes, it's my job to say no. And I was like, oh, okay. Listen. We also have a publicist.
Yeah.
So when we work with our publicist, we love it. It's amazing. It makes you feel like separates you from people, which is weird.
But Sophie, have you ever had to had a publicist or had somebody represent you on a carpet? So I will say though, for our publicists, I always look how they treat other people because since we've been on the other side doing red carpets, we know how publicists have treated us. And I never would want our publicists to treat other people that way I wouldn't want our publicist pushing you out. I mean, it wouldn't push you off the carpet, but it's just like, yeah, they're also an extension of who you are. And you can say like, oh, I didn't know they did that. But like, you know.
So, yeah.
Can you give us the wave, the Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon wave one more time?
Well, they like move in slow-mo. So they're like.
I love
like,
it.
Wait, what? That's like. My God. I can't tell you how many like publicist interactions I've had.
Can I bring up a New York reference? Because you're talking about Lincoln Center in New York and it's iconic. I was there for the opening of the opera season one time a few years ago. Sarah Jessica Parker opened the evening and I was invited by a friend. It's gorgeous. It's stunning. But you, New York, talking about New York, you posted a photo on your Instagram recently and it was a group photo and Alan Cumming was in your photo. Whoa, that was such a casual, explain that. Because my first time going to Broadway in my life was, I think, 1999. I saw Alan Cumming as MC in Cabaret in the old Studio 54. And it was like, gave me my life. It was the moment where I was like, yep, I'm gay as from now until the end of time. I'm obsessed. Mm-hmm. But Alan Cumming, how does Alan Cumming just pop up on your Instagram?
I don't know, really. He's such a nice guy. He's so sweet. His partner, I can't remember if it's his husband or his... But he's hilarious too, but he's just, I don't know, kind of story of my life, I guess.
What a life. I love it. Okay, fair enough.
Somewhere. No one's quite sure why I'm there, but I'm always somewhere just like, hey guys, lovely to see you all. Super, super nice guy.
Would you say that after winning Cycle 18, how would you say, or what is the biggest way your life changed?
You know, it's weird. I always say, like, it was back before social media. People didn't want reality TV. It was so different. I can't even tell you. I feel like if you do it now, if it was on now, you would get a big following. And, you know, the agents, like, didn't really want us. Like, some of the prizes, they didn't fulfill the whole thing. It wasn't easy. And then a few years later... You know, Bish Bash Bosh, Kardashian's huge, and suddenly it's all like clout with your following. But it was tough.
Yeah, it was taboo back then to even do a reality show. It was like, well, if you want to have a career, don't do reality. And don't do reality and don't do host anything.
Well, because I remember it was around the time of it was freshman year of college for me, but it was that Jersey Shore, Keeping Up the Kardashians, like certain type of shows were coming out. Then all of a sudden people were realizing, oh, reality actually can create these personalities that we can market and brand and.
What do you say? Because I'm sure you've spoken on this before, and I should have done my research. Maybe I could have read this somewhere. But Tyra gets dragged a lot randomly because there's a sort of like cancel culture wokeness thing happening now in the world, especially in the United States. And all these old videos. Hey, Peaches. All these old videos pop up randomly. And I remember watching every season of Top Model and thinking it was iconic. And like, well, that's just how tough the industry is. You better deal with it. But now we watch in a different era and we go back and see some of the things she and judges said to these young girls, especially in those early years. And she's getting dragged for some of it. Like, what are your thoughts on that and how like the sort of culture around modeling and the whole modeling world has changed?
Well, I'm going to give you a really boring answer that I always say and people always ignore me. But the show was about ratings. Like, you know, so every time I get this question, I'm always like, well, they were trying to make TV and like, oh, what else was it? You know what I mean? They wanted to have another season. They wanted a job. They wanted good ratings. Like, I don't know how more bluntly to put it. but so it was all like sound bites, right? Everything's a sound bite. And what, like, I had a blast, more to say, but like some people came, there was an article that came out recently and some people were like super scarred by it. It was 2 months of my life. So like, you know, it was intense, but it was fun. I was so young. I didn't really have a clue what was going on. We were just like, okay, cool. We're going here now. Not enough was like known about reality TV either. So you were like, oh, this is what, you know, you just have to kind of do it. But it's so interesting. Like if they redid that show now, oh my God, they would have to make so many changes. Literally, I was watching it back a year or I don't know, during lockdown or whatever. And there was like one scene where Tyrone, I just completely forgot. It feels like a different kind of, you know, life, like I was such a baby, and Tyra came up and she was like, your eyes are too far apart and your forehead's too small and your face is too big. And I'm like, sat there like, thank you so much. Yeah, you're right. And I'm like, wait, what? This is fun. Like, what kind of weird ass conversation is that to have, you know? So that was confusing.
That's the best answer.
But like, and then I think after my season, I have some friends, Allison Harvard, from like the years before. We lived in the Philippines together for a bit. A lot of it was you had to work on it yourself. I think just like now, you know, you had to like push yourself.
Yeah.
It was kind of like show done, and they're like, okay, show done, which is fair. They're making, you know, but I think I expected maybe to get coddled a bit more or like helped out. I don't know. After maybe or like
sure.
some kind of, I think the biggest thing now for any show would be that they would need some kind of aftercare for people.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, or like something.
That's real.
I remember winning and then they were like breaking down the set. I had a contract in front of me to sign, which was like huge. Then I was in a hotel room and I had to wait like 5 hours to get a flight home when I was suddenly home. Like that is a mind after kind of, you know, 2 months of constantly, you couldn't even go to the toilet alone. And that, and I remember like I got back home and I was just on the couch like,
yeah,
what do you know, what do? So young and not really, you know, and then you kind of didn't hear from them for a bit. So it was, you know, it's like anything, right? You think about any celebrity filming a film. I've had a bunch of friends do like big films, and you have to remember that, like, after all that craziness is finished, everyone always ends up at home. Like,
right.
Yeah. I think there's a difference though, because with celebrities, that like they understand the game. You understand the system. Like when you're young and you're just like taking this opportunity for the first time in your career and you're actually trying to start a career. I was on a reality show in 2011 and
which one?
Expedition Impossible. It only aired for one season on ABC. It was Mark Burnett. He created the show. He's a Brit, correct? Mark Burnett created Survivor, The Voice. Well, he was a British paratrooper back in the day or something like that. Look it up. I'm pretty sure. Cool. And so I was on that show in 2011 with my sister and my ex-boyfriend. We lived in Morocco for a month in the wild. So we did like a 400-mile expedition in like 3 weeks in the wild and had to like survive. And it ends. And the moment it ends, we're at this like this temple in like Marrakesh. My sister has like chipped her spinal column, like a vertebrae in her spinal column. There's an ambulance just off camera waiting to take us away. And the whole thing ends. They do the pan out, the big whatever. And immediately we get rushed into an ambulance, go to this little tiny hospital, don't see anybody all night long. Anybody from our cast crew, no goodbyes to anybody, rushed into this hospital, given our phones back that we have not had for a month because we had no connection to the outside world. So all of a sudden we're bombarded by everything. And the next day we're on a flight home and we're back in LA, like sitting at the pool. And we're like, at one point we were sitting by the pool and my sister kind of like chuckles. And I'm like, what? She's like, we've been home for a couple of days now. It's just weird. Like I'm sitting by the pool and I have to take a shit. And I'm thinking to myself, can I go shit in that bush right now? Because that's what I've been doing for a month. She's like, it's almost odd to think about going to the restroom indoors again, because why do you have to? There's a bush right there. Because that's how we lived for a whole month. So you very quickly adapt to that reality. And then luckily, ABC did call us. I think they called us for an exit interview like weeks later to make sure that we were mentally okay. But it's like this insane experience. And then it's over. And then they've moved on to post. They're like producing the show now. And you're sitting at home just waiting for it to come out for months by yourself. And I definitely went through waves of depression. So I can't even imagine 2 full months in a competition like that.
And you won.
Yeah.
Like you won the show. So you would think there'd be more support. But again, like he's saying, you know, it goes in the post and then you're sitting there waiting. Then you might get some more support when the show starts airing. But there's like that period because it's not.
Well, the weirdest thing was it didn't air in the UK, so we didn't even get the benefit of knowing it was we knew it was airing.
Yeah,
I seem to remember they sent us the episodes, but like I didn't even know what the CW was, like you know what I mean. I'd been to America once for 2 weeks. I'd loved it, fell in love. My sister had lived in New York, but I had no idea what the CW meant. I knew it was a kind of a big show, And it wasn't like huge in the UK. And I don't think it aired until like months after. So we didn't even get, being in the UK, like we didn't even get the benefits or understanding of what was happening.
Wow. That's the experience.
A lot of layers
watching back
there
with your friends and family. That's so cool. All right.
Yeah, exactly. It was. Yeah, that was weird. It was weird.
Yeah.
But it was, a blast to do. And it made me, I was always like so much more interested in behind the scenes than any of the drama. So they'd always like hold meetings and you weren't allowed to talk to the crew. And they were like, you have to stop talking to Sophie.
Yeah.
That's totally
and I was like,
normal.
What's going on here? Like, what are you doing? Like,
oh my goodness.
What's that camera for?
Right?
Oh. Yeah. But I wonder what they would do now. It's amazing to me that so many of them lasted so long. Like the Bachelor's going. How?
Yeah, that's been canceled so many times, but never actually canceled.
And all these people, they turn the person out. Reality is wild. It's just a beast that keeps going and going and going. And
you all have the tabloids in the UK. We have reality just constantly, constantly on the air here. It's everywhere.
And we're obsessed. And we're also obsessed with secrets. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and do a couple more secrets and then see if Sophie has a secret to reveal.
She better.
All right, welcome back.
Gotta clear that throat.
I always have to clear my throat. Okay, so this next secret is from Anonymous Male New York. Wait, I love Sophie. You're off the camera trying to drink your Celsius, aren't you?
She's like, these guys are really wearing me out. I'm tired.
I didn't know I was going to be on camera today.
I will say the beginning of the podcast is probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen where you thought you weren't on camera and you're like, wait, you can see me.
I was in a swimsuit. That was actually, look.
Oh my God.
I threw on a shirt and I was like, man, these guys have got to wait for me. They probably think I'm such an imbecile.
No, you're not.
You look very chic.
Hang on a second. It's a podcast, right? You didn't say like, oh, here's this video cast.
To be fair, I sent Sophie a DM literally like what, 3 days ago two days ago. And I was like, hey, would you mind coming on the podcast? She's like, of course.
Well, no, you're so saving us because here's the truth of the matter is, we're coming
we
off
want
of
you.
No, not at all. Not
we
at
totally
all.
Want you.
No, we're so grateful. We had COVID a few weeks ago, so that kind of threw us off. Luckily, we had some episodes pre-canned.
She knows I had to host Amazon while I had COVID.
Oh, he was so sick. He was so sick those days. But then we're also, our wedding is right around the corner. And so we're like intensely in like final preparation for the wedding. And we haven't revealed the date, but it's getting closer and closer. Mm-hmm. So we're like, oh yeah, we have a podcast to host.
Yeah.
So he reached out to you and thank God you said yes. And you're fantastic. You're such a breath of fresh air. We love you.
We're having so much fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you might know this person. This is Anonymous Male New York.
Wait, because she's been to New York? She might know that.
She lives in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, okay. Him. What's he doing here again? Crazy.
So they said, I'm attracted to people with a lot of plastic surgery. The housewives are my dream lay. I'm 22, so I keep it to myself for now. Okay.
It's interesting.
That's a very interesting secret. I personally never want to be the person as I age to do a lot of plastic surgery. Nothing against people who do. I feel like I can always tell when people have had,
much work.
Yeah. But then some people get it done really well and it's like subtle. I think if I were ever to do any plastic surgery as I aged, it would have to be very subtle where it's just like, oh, they're just aging gracefully. But I can't do like the...
Yeah.
If you watch the video, you'll see the face.
Maybe we should allow Sophie to answer this one because she's in an industry where there's a lot of pressure to do those sorts of things. Like, what are your thoughts?
Oh my God. Isn't it wild? So much pressure. It's so weird. I think the look now makes people look older. So I look a lot younger, I think, than I am. And people will think I'm younger, but I'll find 24-year-olds who I think are like 35 because they've kind of, I mean, all good to them, but I feel like the look makes you look older, which is really weird. I also get like super intimidated by it. Like there are a few parties and like, not to be critical, but I find like, especially in LA, such a strong look. And and I hate to admit, it's like instantly I'll be like, oh, they've had this done. And
of course,
they probably turn out to be like a really nice person, but I'm instantly like weirdly wary of them.
Yeah,
I
hear exactly what you're saying. It does. It's the fillers and the cheekbones and the jawline and the resurfacing of the nose. It's like so many things that are done. And then on top of that,
nose and lips are done. And oh my God, trust me, the amount of times I've gone in, when I was younger, I went in to like find out if I should get a boob job. Like I've thought it all to try and fit in. And then I don't know, you just get to a point and you're like, Why?
No, your perfection. Your face is perfect.
Perfect.
You give me like Keira Knightley, like in the smile and the jawline.
Because it's so, I'm British.
I know, right? I should have said Natalie Portman or something. But no, I hear that. I've never done anything anywhere. I got Botox about a year ago for the very first time on my crow's feet and a little bit right here because I scrunch in between my eyes. I said, I want to barely tell you did it. And so we did a very light amount and I'll do it again before the wedding. Mm-hmm. I'm turning 42 this summer. So I'm like, okay, I'm in my 40s now. I can from time to time. I got microneedling on my face, which is not plastic surgery, but it's like an intense facial mm-hmm. with like plasma. And that's, I'm okay with all of that.
I wish I could actually see you. You and Emil are like split frame, so I just see each of your ears and not your face.
Oh, and the camera that we're using isn't...
Oh, yeah. So we're on a separate camera for the actual... Yeah. What will go up on YouTube is a 4K camera that's separate.
So this is like a low def.
Oh,
yeah. So, but nothing against any of those sorts of things. And I totally support it. Full transparency, I think I can say this now because I'm going to be talking about this. I had liposuction done, like body contouring back in January?
Oh, wow.
Because I hit my 40s and all of a sudden the last few years, I'm like that like midsection is not changing anymore. I can lose 10, 15 pounds, work out, you know, 6 days a week, change my diet. But I have like a little bit of a tire, like a little bit of like the love handles, like the flanks on the side. And I was just really tired of it. And I was like, I don't want to look like this. I don't need to be ripped, but I just want to look like I used to look. And my partner here has a 42 pack. Like he's just got muscles everywhere on his body.
But I work out for it.
No, he totally does. Clear. But he totally does. But I also work out too.
Yeah.
And back in the day, I could pull like a nice little ripped body. Now I can't. So I went and got it done at this place in Beverly Hills and I'm very happy with it. So I've had...
Recovery like, because I feel like I hear people be like, oh, I got lipo, like super casual, but I'm like, hang on a second, you went under.
He was in a hospital bed in the living room.
I was in a hospital bed in the living room. When I told them that at the office, they laughed at me and said I was dramatic. And I was like, I don't care how dramatic it is. I just want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Because the hardest thing, honestly, is
in a hospital bed in the living room?
Yeah, I rented one.
He rented a hospital bed.
So I could have like a remote control to get up and down, because the hardest part after getting stomach lipo is sitting up. Because it hurts so bad. And then you have to kind of push yourself up and be very gentle. And it's a lot. Mine
for
was...
How long?
It's interesting because I got it done on the Thursday, went back to work on a Monday. But I was... Wow. I host a radio show. So I just sit and talk, right?
You had like a zip-up...
A compression garment.
Like a month pads, or so. Yeah. And we had to use like actual tampon.
Is it
tampon?
Yeah, you like leak a little.
Or no, tampon's the stick. The maxi pads. Yes, we had those
disgusting.
In there to absorb all the
liquid. Can you imagine
if we
were sticking in like tampons in the holes?
He did have holes. Yeah, we should. Why didn't we do that?
Yeah, but my scars are almost completely healed now.
Yeah.
And in another couple of months, they'll be complete. But I still feel like numb. They said the numbness and tingling and the swelling actually lasts for almost 6 months.
Yeah.
It's gone down a ton, though. Yeah.
See, that's what I always think is so important. People casually say stuff like, I got a boob job, or like, I got this. And I'm like, wait a second.
No.
That's like,
talk
so
about
much
the
more
recovery.
Than just getting this done.
Right. No, it's trauma on your body.
Well, it's
takes
trauma.
Time.
And I love that when people, like he said, he went to a specialist in Beverly Hills. I think it's also important to say where you got it and that these people were experts. Because some people, we have my mom's friend. Actually went to another country and got a procedure done, and she's dealing with all the after effects now. And
years later,
it could have killed her. And so I think, you know, you can try to save money, or you can, if you really are going to invest in something that you're pretty much introducing this trauma to your body for the betterment of your looks or whatever you're doing it for, you need to make sure that you're going to a specialist, somebody who actually knows what they're doing and that they have their certificates and like all these different things. Because when you go trying to save money and you can really put your life in danger, it's just not worth it.
I know people are like, you could have gone to Mexico or go to Colombia. I'm like, listen, I'm sure there are great surgeons there. I went to Dr. Jay Jackson at Elite Body Sculpting. This is not sponsored. And he was fantastic.
Remember when... Is it Linda Evangelista did the cool sculpting on her face?
Yeah.
Like, yes. And she's finally talked about how she has skin hardening and things like that. So that's why I didn't. So cool sculpting and heat sculpting, those sorts of things, like I've tried in the past and they're like,
I've done
okay.
That.
Yeah. It just feels a little bit like I'm like, okay, that's cool. It's
like
heating up my.
Days,
it's cool.
Like, okay. But also like not to sound like an asshole. I got it done for free. Right. And like instantly. Yeah. You see like the tiniest bit and maybe for like 2 days, but then it's, nothing happens. And I'm like, holy shit, this cost people a fortune.
Yeah. We did it. We did a whole series of her.
To do it.
Well, because that's the other thing. You have to do your research. So before he even made the decision, he looked at multiple before and after picture of all different types of body
and
types.
And I have a friend of mine who also works in Hollywood.
Who had the procedure.
Who had the procedure. And he said it's the best choice I ever made.
They did a full consultation before. So there was so much detail before just going in there, signing paperwork and getting the procedure done.
But I can't imagine touching my face.
Yeah.
Doing something to my face.
I will say to the person who gave this secret, I there's no judgment, because I will say, because of the way society is and has been for the last decade, sometimes I look at some of these housewives and I'm like, oh my God, you look stunning. And then I'm like, whoa. I'm actually now, because we watch so much reality TV, I think that's beautiful sometimes. But if you wipe off the makeup, if you wipe off the makeup on some of these faces, it's not going to look how it looks when it's all made up and there's the filter on the cameras
and
all these different things.
The skin looks different. And it's I get it. And also, all the Kardashians are so, they've had so much work and they've so much makeup all
the
time.
But they have the money to go to certain doctors.
1,000%. But also, you got to think about, I always think about this, like Kylie. Mm-hmm. Kylie did not look like Kylie that many years ago.
Right.
And her kids are not going to look like Kylie necessarily.
But Stormy is so cute.
Stormy is really cute though. But like, I can understand like this young person's into people who look like Kylie Jenner or whoever they see on TV. I get that. That's what's being promoted.
And here's the thing. If that's what you want to do, you know.
I went out. I was in the Philippines with her before she got everything done. We were out there together, and Rob, I think, and Rob as well. And the thing that gets to me about this, right, is like, so when I was younger, it was skinny modeling. We were like skinny, Kate Moss, skinny, lose the weight, don't have hips, boy figure. And I started with like Cara Delevingne, and she like, you know, skyrocketed. And then it moved into like, I remember literally Googling, like, how can I shave my hips down? Because I was like 17 and wanting to, you know, when I was 14, a model booker was like, watch your hips, which is a weird thing to say. Cause you can't really, you know what I mean? Like, okay, I'll watch them, but they're going to do what they're going to do.
Right.
But I remember going out there and it really bums me out when don't even get me started, but they're kind of like, no, this was this and we didn't do this. And I'm like, your makeup artist has the surgery. Have you seen her makeup artist? Mm. I mean, if he wants to, amazing. But like, it's not working out. Like, let's not get that confused for people. I think it can be a real, I find it difficult at my age. So like,
especially for young people,
social media like that'd be so tough.
That's what I've said. Anytime any of these people get these surgeries, it's not that I'm judging any of the surgeries. I just want you to be fully transparent because I don't want my niece to look at those photos and say, oh, I want to look like that. And it's an unattainable thing. And
Say, why don't I look like
that?
Yeah.
So, okay. One more secret, and we'll make these fast responses before we get to Sophie's possible secret. Okay. why don't you read that last one? She's still like,
This one comes from Jay Mail, somewhere in the United States.
Oh, we may know them. Mm-hmm.
Waiting for Tonight by Jennifer Lopez. Oh, here she comes again. Jennifer Lopez.
Waiting for Tonight.
Wouldn't give me an interview. Waiting for Tonight by Jennifer Lopez has been on repeat for the past week or so. This song has become part of my daily routine. Wait, that's the confession?
That's your secret. That was a perfect last secret.
Listen.
I
live for that.
No judgment to that. Should we add that to the wedding playlist?
That should be on the wedding playlist.
Waiting for Tonight.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's J-Lo. We're getting married. Yes, that's perfect.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll add that to the playlist.
Well, thank you, J-Mail. We appreciate you.
Oh, I wonder if...
J-Lo and J-Mail. Okay. What if that was...
J-Lo? She just pretended like
pretended.
She was... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we are. Are we going to do it?
It's that time.
We're trying to stall for you right now, Sophie, because a while ago we told you that you needed to have a secret to share with us. You also, I think our producer asked you for a secret and you just said, fuck off, I don't want to bring one. So you've now had 45 minutes or so to come up with a really, really, really good one that's going to make everybody laugh hysterically and change our lives for all eternity.
Or simple.
Or just simple, whatever you want to do. So now, Sophie, it is now time for you to
confess your mess.
Got so many secrets about other people, but I can't think of anything.
You can tell us a secret that involves somebody else and you don't have to put their name in, if that helps you.
I had a friend that I don't know why
it's so easy. She transitioned so easily to telling a secret about somebody else.
I don't know, when you kept asking for a secret I was like, oh my god, this friend's secret's so good. That he had a one night stand with this girl and they were like really drunk or whatever, and they go back to the apartment. It's so weird. And then she like passed out and he was like, man, I really need a poo. And he he ran in the middle of the night, like still drunk, and did a poo. And then in the morning, when he went to the bathroom, he was like, oh my God, where did I run last night? And he'd run into a different bathroom and pooped in the bathtub, but there was no, there was no toilet in there. So he had to scoop up from the bathtub and run put it in the toilet.
What?
And somebody else randomly told me a story that they did a poo and I can't remember it, but like for some, I don't know who told me this, but for some reason they had, they, maybe the toilet didn't flush and they had to take a plastic bag. And then they put it on the counter. They had a one night stand as well. And they were going to and she locked herself out. So she left the one night stand house trying to take the poo out to the trash, but she locked herself out the house. So she left the poo on his table.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine like the message that like they're trying to analyze, like why, what did I do to deserve this person leaving poop on my counter? Yeah. Like what does this mean? Is this like a fetish?
This poor kid feels bad about peeing the bed in his bunk bed at camp one time. God. And you've got people dropping turds
AJ,
on
that's
countertops.
That's a full circle moment. We talked about peeing the bed. Then you talked about pooping in the bushes. And now we're talking about pooping in the bathtub.
Okay, Sophie, I want to tell you a secret right now.
Like the more secrets you reveal, the more you just realize that like everyone... like it's got so much weird stuff that like nothing is weird.
Yeah.
Right.
This one is more about a meal. I go to the restroom for the last few months.
Oh, I'm gonna sing it.
He found this.
You're gonna love this. Sophie.
He found this video.
No, it's on Spotify. A song on
mm-hmm. Spotify. Mm-hmm. That whenever I go into the restroom and close the door, he knows if I come home from work and I walk very quickly, or I come home from anywhere, if I walk fast and
I'm so excited right now.
I don't come give him a kiss right away, he knows what's going on. So he gets his phone out, plays the song, and brings our dog Kingston into it.
It's called The Pooping Song. We're going to sing it together. You ready?
I feel it. I know what to do when I'm about to poo. I go to the potty, pull my underwear down,
and I sit and wait. I sit and wait.
Sit and wait until the poop comes out. Bye, bye, poop. Bye, bye, poop. It's so ridiculous.
It's for kids to teach
children,
like that, but we
for potty training. And this is what my fiance plays for me every time I take a shit.
And I can't tell you, Sophie, how many times I've been like, "Is there some way we can incorporate this at the wedding? I'm like, where we can play this, and our guests are just like,
oh
wait,
my
what?
God, yes.
What if this is like our first dance?
And then they're like, what is going on right now? The DJ's like, listen, I will say, Sophie. First of all, even though, again, I reached out to you last minute, you were not a last minute. This was like I was going to reach out to you at some point just because I think you're amazing. You always make us laugh in the early morning.
Yeah, you were on our dream list. You and J-Lo. Two of you.
One of my favorite guests ever. But I will say you've made Confess Your Mess history. I think we're on like episode 38 or something. You were the first person who ever confessed somebody else's secret or their secret. So we love that.
She tells us she can't think of one for the life of her. And then all of a sudden we say it could be about somebody else. Right. She has 42 lined up, ready to go.
I will say though that
Wieners. I know everyone's secrets. I see everything, but like
not a Mean Girls reference.
No, it was really great. This is such a great episode. You made me smile and made me laugh, and it's really nice to have you because we've been so stressed with the wedding. Yeah. So it's nice to just sit and laugh for a little bit, and then as soon as this computer closes, we're gonna go back to the stress. But what do we like to do before every episode ends, AJ?
We'd like to say thank you for stopping by, and we'd like to ask our guests, Sophie, what would be your one takeaway of the day from this podcast?
Obviously, the poo song was. Bye, bye, poo.
It's cuter when a British person says it. They call it poo.
Right?
Poo.
Sophie, you were amazing. Thank you so much, and see you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
Confess your mess.
Confess your mess. Confess Your Mess is a Straw Hut Media podcast produced by Ryan Tillotson and Frank Driscoll. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and share.
And if you have a secret you want to share, go to confessyourmess.us to submit. Your secret could end up in the show.
Ooh.